Last Sunday night after the service, someone came up to me and made this comment. When you were giving all those verses showing that a person once saved is saved forever and will never lose his eternal salvation, I kept remembering also all those verses I've been taught that show a Christian can lose his eternal salvation. Let me assure you this evening that I remember those verses also, because for many, many years I was taught and taught again and again that when a Christian, a sinning saint lost his eternal life and had to be saved all over again. However, there are some biblical passages which appear to contradict and to deny the teaching of eternal security for a believer. Certain verses which appear to say that it is possible that a saved person can be lost again. I've remarked two or three times in this series of studies that I've been bringing that during the course of my own life, I have often heard and been taught those biblical passages, and there came the time in my life when I had to study them to come to understand what they taught and what they do teach. And so this evening I will begin to present and to consider for us here some of those biblical passages which appear to say that a Christian who knows the Lord Jesus Christ may lose his eternal life. These biblical passages fall into about seven categories. In just a moment, I'm going to be presenting that to you, but let me just say at the very outset that I believe that if you will come to know these six or seven categories, that you will discover, after looking at all of those verses which are often used in this way, that the verses that are given, rather than teaching that a Christian can lose his eternal salvation, that instead of that, those verses actually relate to one of the seven things that I will bring before you here this evening. And you will find the explanation for those various verses if you will understand that they fall, all of them, I believe, fall into one of these seven categories that I have, or six categories that I have placed here on the screen, and I will add one or two to this in the time of study that is to come. Let me simply begin this evening in our study by pointing out to you these six categories, and in a study to come next in a couple of weeks or so, I will be going through these categories and I will add at least one to them. But the verses which are often used as teaching that a Christian can lose his salvation, actually, instead of that, actually relate to these six and perhaps another category. By the side of the category of apostasy, you may also want to write down the word mere professing Christian. I will explain this evening a little bit more in detail, but you may already recall that during the course of the baptismal service, Mr. Williams, in giving his testimony, indicated that for many years he was a mere professing Christian who did not at all understand, really at all, that salvation was through Jesus Christ. He rather, as he explained very well in his own testimony, indicated that he had this very common misunderstanding that a man would get to heaven if his good works outweighed his bad deeds. And he had never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. There are innumerable people who are members of Christian churches and who own the name and take the name Christian who have never, ever been confronted with the issue of the Lord Jesus Christ and their personal trust in him. They are professing Christians. Now, some of them will later deny, and they become what we call apostates, mere professing Christians who later deny the truth and turn away from their profession, are known as apostates. Others of them, unfortunately, may go through their entire lifetime, and as we shall see in the scriptures tonight, enter eternity and stand before God with the profession of Christian, and God will say to them, I never knew you. You were never a believer. You never possessed Jesus Christ, my son. So many of the passages that are often quoted about a Christian losing his salvation do not actually relate to that, but rather they will relate to those whom we call mere professing Christians or apostates. Others relate to the matter of Christian reward. Instead of actually declaring that a Christian may lose his salvation, they actually point out that a Christian may, in the time of the judgment seat of Christ, lose his reward on the basis of his ministry. Some of them relate to the matter of discipline. Others refer to the issue of the fellowship of a Christian with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them refer to a ministry that may be taken away, and a few of them are related to specifically to the issue of those who came out of Judaism and who wanted to return to Judaism as apostates, and some of the verses that are often used actually fall in this category. So that you will discover, when you look at all of the verses that are used as teaching that a Christian may lose his salvation, that in fact those verses instead relate to one of these six areas, or perhaps to a seventh area that I will be talking about in a few weeks here in the church as we continue to study it. Now this evening we're going to be looking at the first of these categories, and we will not be able tonight, obviously, to conclude that, but let me just say that we're going this evening to consider the first of these categories of verses, those that relate to the subject of apostasy or of mere professing Christian believers who do not actually experience the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in that category are found the following major verses. And also in a moment, we're going to look at all of these, or at least as many of them as we have the time to consider tonight. The passage that is the classic passage that describes the matter of a mere professing Christian who may become an apostate, the classic verse that sets this forth is Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and verses 21 through 23. And again, I'll say that in a moment we will turn to that passage and look at it. But first this evening, I want to list for you the passages which people will sometimes give to you and say that these passages show that a Christian may lose his salvation, when actually, when you study the passages, you will discover that they relate rather to the matter of apostasy or of mere profession of faith without the genuine possession of the new birth in Jesus Christ. I want to leave those there for you for a few moments, because I think that probably some of you would like to write down those passages so that you may have them as a reference. These are some of the major verses which those who teach that the sinning saint loses his salvation employ. They will often use Matthew 12:45, Matthew 13, and the verses that follow, Acts 1:25, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 through 5, 1 Timothy 4, and verses 1 and 2, 2 Peter 2, and the verses listed there, Jude, verse 5, and verses 17 and 19, and perhaps one of the passages used most frequently in this connection is Revelation chapter 3, and verses 16 and 21. So that under the category of the mere professing Christian, who does not really possess salvation and become either an apostate or finally stands before God and is confronted with the fact that he never knew Jesus Christ, under that category are these lists of verses which we have laid before you here tonight. And now for a moment, let us look at some of these verses in detail and begin to consider them. First of all, looking at the classic verse that sets forth the fact, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, and then verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Then from verse 15 down to verse 21. This passage simply, specifically and explicitly sets forth the fact of those who are mere professors but do not possess. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 21. Not every one who says unto me,
Lord, Lord, that is, not everyone who takes the name and of Christian shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. That does not refer to obedience as salvation, but it refers, as Jesus himself said, to doing the will of the Father, which is to believe on his Son, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, if you want to trace this out, in John chapter 6 and probably about the 70th verse, someplace in that connection, they came to the Lord Jesus and said, "What can we do that we may do the will of the Father? What works can we do that we might work the will of the Father?" And Jesus said, "This is the will of the Father, that you believe in me whom he has sent." So in verse 15 and the verse 21, doing the will of the Father which is in heaven is the matter of believing in the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, notice the 22nd verse that follows. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have we cast out demons, and in your name have done many wonderful works." Pause a moment to notice that these are people who never outwardly denied the faith, as apostates do. They have worked in the name of Christian. They have professed the name Christian. They may have been engaged in many kinds of so-called good works, all of it in the name of Christianity. But Jesus says in verse 23, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, the important fact that we need to learn from this classic passage is the fact, unpleasant though it is, that there are many, many people who are laboring in the name of Christianity, who are doing works for the church and works as the name Christian, whom the Lord says, "I never knew you." Not "I knew you once and you were lost," but "I never knew you." They never knew Christ. They would be, as I already have said this evening, like the one who gave his testimony, who said that for many, many years he was a member of a church and a professing Christian until on the tape that he heard, he was confronted with the fact that it was Jesus Christ who died, and it was a matter of personal trust in him. And he then became a believer. But had that event not occurred in his life, that man could well have been one of these whom Jesus refers to here, who could stand in the presence of God and say, "Haven't we worked in your name?" And Jesus can say, and will say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you." So here we have the classic passage of mere professing Christians. And as we will discover in a few moments when we look at some of the verses that are used, many of the verses which are used by those who teach that a sinning saint loses his salvation, many of those verses in fact are referring to people who profess the name Christ, but who are not born again people. They are lost because though they professed the name, they did not possess Jesus Christ. And some of them become apostates, and others apparently continue till the day they stand in the presence of God to be told he never knew them. Let me give you another example of this in the New Testament, and then we will look at some of the verses that apply to it. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 6. We have in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel another of the classic passages which set forth the fact I've been saying tonight. Remember that you and I are not able to judge another man's reality. We cannot say if another man professes. We may certainly wonder and question, but we are unable to know a man's real relationship to God. But as the Lord looks down upon the world, he knows those who have come to believe and those who have not. In John chapter 6, at verse 26, we have these words. Remember that this event followed the great miracle in which Jesus fed the 5,000 with bread. And what we're going to discover here is that there were many who professed Jesus during his earthly life, many of them who said they were disciples of Jesus of Nazareth and who actually followed him and claimed to be his disciples. And all of the time, Jesus knew that they were following him because of the miracles that he did, of the fact that he would feed them, of the fact that he healed, of the fact that they expected from him that he could meet material and physical needs, but who had not come to believe in him, in his spiritual ministry, in his ministry as the Messiah and as the suffering servant of the Lord and as the Savior. And John 6 is that passage where it comes out. For Jesus has previously fed the multitude with bread. And he said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you see the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God that you can do, that you believe on him whom God hath sent. Now notice that after Jesus says that, look on down in the chapter at verse 56. He who eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Jesus, of course, as we find out in this very passage when we study it, was not speaking of the literal partaking of his flesh and blood through the mouth, but by believing. But he now confronts them with the issue that the person who will receive him, his broken life and his shed blood, that person will abide in him. Verse 58, This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Verse 59, These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. May I say that today you visit that place and you find the ruins of the synagogue that probably was the one in existence in Jesus' day. If not, it was the synagogue that must have been built immediately thereafter, for it is generally dated to around the end of the first century, if not a little earlier. But Jesus stood in that synagogue in Capernaum and taught these things. Many, therefore, verse 60, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This, notice this, many of his disciples, these were people who were known to be disciples. This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But, verse 64, there are some of you disciples that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Among those disciples whom Jesus from the beginning knew believed not was Judas. And he said, Therefore I said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Verse 66, From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now were these people who were saved and then lost? No. These were disciples who professed Christ, who followed him, who were known to be his disciples, but whom the Bible explicitly says, did not believe in Jesus as the eternal Son of God. And many of them apostatized right there when he confronted them by saying that it is not the flesh that profiteth, but it is the Spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are that which profit. And unless you partake of me in my broken life and my shed blood, you will perish. And many of them said, this is an hard saying, and they followed him no more. Those who were professing disciples, but believed not. Now you see that the Bible teaches that there are many people, as there were then, there are many people, and there will be in the end, as we read in Matthew, who will stand before the Lord and will say, Lord, in your name, in the name of Christ, in the name of Christianity, we've done all of these things, and the Lord will say to them, I never knew you. You were mere professors who never knew me in faith. So you see that there is a category of people who fall in this class of being mere professing Christians, some of whom become apostates, like these disciples in John 6, who, if they are confronted with the truth, will turn away and deny and fall away from the truth because they never really knew the Lord. And there will be others who will stand in his presence, and he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Now, all of these verses that we have listed here describe those kind of people. These are verses that the friends will bring to you and say, look, here's a Christian who lost his salvation. And they may quote Matthew 12 or Matthew 13 or Acts 1 or 1 Corinthians 10 or 1 Timothy 4 or 2 Peter 2 or Jude or Revelation. And they will say that these verses prove that a Christian may lose his salvation, but you can look in the context and point out to them that this refers to the classic example of people who profess the name of Christ but who did not know him. Let me show you that. Let's take Matthew 13. I'll take this just a single reference tonight, and then on succeeding studies we will look at some of those other references. But if you will, for a moment, turn in your Bible to Matthew 13. And verse 3, this happens to be one of those passages that I used to hear so constantly and that was taught to me so frequently and often. Matthew 13 and verse 3. Jesus spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed. Now, before I read the rest of the parable, I want to warn you in advance that Jesus is going to describe what happened to different seeds. And so he begins that when this man went out to sow, he sowed some seed, and some seed, verse 4, fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. May I pause and say that when Jesus got through with this entire parable, or in this entire figure, the disciples asked him to explain it, and he did. And he explained verse 4 in the 19th verse. Notice that. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, the wicked one comes and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now here is the category of people who hear the word and make no pretense or profession. They don't understand it. They don't even pretend to receive it. The seed is sown there, but they neither understand it nor do they make any pretense. Satan just snatches it away. They make no profession whatever of faith. So that's simply the group of people who may hear the gospel and do not respond to it at all, make no profession of response. That's verse 4 related to verse 19. Notice the second category Jesus gave in his parable, verse 5. But some seed fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Now, you will relate that in a moment to Jesus' interpretation of it that we will find in verse 20 and 21. But notice, no earth, and forthwith the seed sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because, and this is a phrase that's important, as Jesus will explain it, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now Jesus explained this in verse 20 and 21. He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and immediately with joy receives it. This is his outward response. Yet hath he no root in himself. Literally, that says, yet the seed takes no root in him. But the seed itself dureth for a while. Now, what this is saying is that a seed can fall on stony ground, and the seed itself has the ability to spring up. You know that this is true, of course, if you know a little bit about seed. Seed itself can germinate and begin apparently to spring up. But because beneath it there is only stone, it takes no root. There is an apparent life that is the result of the seed. But because it has not taken root, we read, verse 21, yet hath he no root, but dureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise, he is offended, and he, of course, vanishes away. He apostatizes. This describes the Christian, the person rather, who hears the word of God and makes a profession. He responds immediately, and the word itself has a remarkable effect in a person's life, of sometimes bringing reform and all kinds of action. But if the word does not take root in him, he has never really received it. And when certain things come along, the seed dies away and he perishes. This is a description of the person we've been talking about, the person who hears the word, who professes faith, but who does not experience genuine faith in Christ. This is a description of those whom Jesus had in John chapter 6, the disciples, who followed Jesus and were his disciples and enjoyed his miracles and were fed by his miracles and were healed and said that we are disciples of Jesus of Nazareth and were greatly visible about Jesus. But when Jesus put them to the test and said, you're following me for the miracles, and unless you take my broken life and my shed blood, you shall perish. Then when Jesus put them to that test, the word he had spoken had not taken root in them, and they turned away and followed him no more. So the second category here is the category of the mere professing person who appears to believe, but the word of God has not really taken root. And after a while, he falls by the wayside. He is not a Christian He is not a man who was saved and is now lost. He is a man who professed but did not possess. Now, the last two categories that Jesus gave are different. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But this man is a Christian. Verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. He hears the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Here is a Christian, but a man who becomes an unfruitful Christian. And you know what the Bible teaches about that. the Bible teaches that God will immediately discipline. If he brings forth no fruit, he will ultimately remove him out of this earthly vineyard by physical death, even. That's possible. But if he brings forth a little fruit, the Lord will prune him to bring forth more fruit. And as he brings forth more fruit, the Lord will prune him to bring forth much fruit. But here is the case of a Christian who genuinely trusts the Lord, but becomes totally without fruit. And God has to discipline that one. And finally, verse 23, or rather the end of the parable, verse 8, other fell into good fruit ground and brought forth fruit, some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Verse 23 interprets it, he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understands it, and bears fruit, and brings forth fruit 100-fold and 60-fold and 30-fold. I will have to take the other passages on a later night, but there are 5 or 6 passages that speak of those who profess to be believers but are not saved. My friend, I of course must speak to you this evening to ask you, not whether you have joined the church or not whether you have even been baptized or not whether you have done all kinds of works, but whether or not you have ever personally placed your faith in Jesus, the Son of God. If you have not done that, you may be a professing Christian, but the Lord will have to say to you, I never knew you. May that not be the experience of any who are here tonight. Let us pray. Oh, our Father, cause us to literally to dig into the scriptures. Grant that this evening every person in this congregation will know the issue and will personally believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Our Father, we pray that there may not be any here this evening who have been deluded, even as the testimony we've heard earlier tonight. But rather may they know that the issue before them is Jesus and Jesus only, the Son of God, that he not only died for their sins, but he waits to enter their life and to be the life of the Christian in him. And cause them to know that the single issue for every sinner is the issue of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and rose again to be the Savior. May they trust him and receive him, and may they now invite him into their lives that he might begin his work of salvation. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.